God-given DVD. When He gives you a DVD, it's going to have, again, three components. And the first component is going to be, it's going to be redemptive in nature. It's going to be everything that God's done. It is God's heart that He desires to bring people to Him. So it's going to be redemptive in nature. And again, that's what I'm saying. It goes beyond just having a perfect job, having something that you want to do. But what is the redeeming factor? When God gives you a dream, when He gives you a vision, when He gives you a desire, what is going to be the redeeming factor in that? Because there, somewhere along the line, that's what God wants to do. He wants to redeem. It is, again, I think, lining your heart, our hearts, up with the heart of God. The second thing it's going to require is going to require personal investment. There is no way God's going to give you a dream, vision, or desire, a DVD, and you're not going to have to become personally involved. You cannot. And I'm going to say it again. You cannot be a spectator. God is not going to let you sit on the... He's not just going to let you sit and watch. But He wants you to get personally involved. And if you're not willing to get personally involved, and come and just emotionally involved, then I'm going to venture to say it's not a God-given DVD. And then the third component of a God-given DVD is the scope of the nature. It's bigger than you. It is broad. And it's too many of us. We have such a narrow focus. And God wants to broaden our focus. So when you think about your God-given DVD, what's the scope of it? Does it just involve you? Does it just involve your family? Or does it involve something bigger and greater? I'm going to venture to say if it is a true God-given DVD, it's going to be so big and so broad, you can't do it without the power of God. If you can do it, it's not from God. I'm just going to tell you right now. If you can do it, if you can accomplish it in your strength, in your own ability, and leave God out of it, it's not from God. What God gives you, it's going to take God to accomplish it. Because He wants to get the glory, not you, not me, not even the church, but He gets the glory. So you want to know if it's a God-given DVD, if you say, is this from God? Does it have a redeeming factor in it? Is it somewhere along the line, is God going to bring people to Him? Is it a fact that it's personal investment? Are you going to have to be personally involved? You're going to have to move from being a spectator to being in the game and being a part of it, being a participant, and then the scope of it. Again, it's going to be so big, so massive, you cannot do it apart from God. And so that's where we want to get to today. As we see here, let me get this out. In James chapter 4, in verse number 17, it says this, any person who knows what is right to do it, but does it not, to him it is a sin. And in other words, you see here in this passage, we're going to get into it, is that Nehemiah caught a glimpse of what God wanted to do. A vision that he had, and God gave it to him. And he understood, when he got that, he had to do something. I love what Paul says in Acts chapter 26, and verse number 19. He says this, when he's talking to, I think, King Agrippa, I was proved I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And in other words, the vision that God gave him, when he was standing there, he says, I was not disobedient to it. When God gives you a God-given DVD, a dream, vision, desire, and for you not to act on it and respond to it is a sin. Because God is wanting you to do something. And for you to get that and say, well, I don't need to be a part of that. It's too big for me, or it's going to make me uncomfortable, or whatever it is, whatever excuse you want to throw out there. Because we all have them. Not to do it, not to respond to it, is a sin. And then, in other words, that's what I think Paul was saying. I proved I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And that's where we want to get to. So we have to respond to it. So in Nehemiah here, chapter 1, and verse number 3, and I read it a minute ago. I'm going to read it again because here's Nehemiah, and he's a cupbearer, okay, for the king. He's in a good position. And this is what he says. He come back. And then he says this. He said, they said to me, because he asked them about it. He says, the remnant there in the province who survived the captivity are in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are burned with fire. And then verse number 10 says this. They are your servants and your people, whom you've redeemed by your great power, by your strong hand. And then in chapter 5, I want to read that to you. Chapter 5, verse number 5 says this, just to show you what type of shape they were in, the distress that was taken about. He says this, now our flesh is like the flesh of our brothers, our children are like the children, yet behold, we are forcing our sons and our daughters to be slaves, and some of our daughters are forced into bondage. Already we are helpless because of our fields and vineyards belong to others. That is just how bad it was. And that chapter 5, verse 5, kind of gives you a glimpse that they're selling their kids because they can't afford to eat. They can't afford to pay taxes. And they're having to sell their kids into slavery just to survive. That's how bad it was. A God-given DVD. Our Lord, and I think we all would agree about this, our Lord is about life. He is the Lord of life. And when you see here and you see this passage, for some, at this moment, I can't explain to you why, but Nehemiah finally got a glimpse of what God already knew, of just how bad off it was in Judah. And something had to be done. Redeeming needed to take place. And somehow, some way, in God's way, it got Nehemiah's attention. Now here's what I want to ask you this morning. And it was even up on one of the songs that we sung. You know, are people in bondage today? Are people hurting today? Are people in distress today? In our own community. Guess what the answer is? In bold letters, Y-E-S. Yes. People are hurting today in our community. People are in bondage in our community. And people need the Lord in our community. And here's what we can do. And we know that, guys. We know it. Here's what we can do. We can either say to ourselves, there's nothing I can do. Or we can do kind of like what Nehemiah did. There's something I can do. Redeeming the time. We know what's going on. And for us to sit back and say, and I'm not talking about as a church, but as an individual or as a family, say, well, there's nothing I can do. You know, I've got my own life to live. No, you don't. When you gave your life to Christ, guess what you gave up? Your life to live. Because now you're going to live the life that God wants you to live. And oh, by the way, you live the life that God wants you to live, it's a whole lot better than living your life. So when you gave your life to Christ, when you said, I want to be a follower of Christ, you said at that moment, I am now ready to do whatever God wants me to do. I'm willing to answer the call. Whatever it means to do, wherever He wants me to go, I'm answering the call. And for Nehemiah, when he got wind of what was taking place, he said, God, I am going to answer the call. Now I'm going to say to you here in a moment that he probably knew about the distress and how bad it was. But on this day, at this moment, because of what was taking place in Judah, you know what was birthed within him? A vision, a desire, a dream to go back and do something about it. Maybe this morning, when we look around and we catch just really how bad our world is, how bad our community is, how bad people are hurting. Maybe this morning, God wants to birth within you a DVD, a dream, a vision, a desire that lines up not with the hearts of others, but lines up with His heart. Maybe He wants to do that. I'm going to say, not say maybe, I'm going to say yes, He wants to do that. He wants to give you what's in His heart. He wants your heart and my heart to line up with His heart. That's what He wants. That's what He desires. But do we want that? We have to ask ourselves that. You never know. Again, Nehemiah here is just doing what he does, being a cupbearer. You never know when, where, or how God's going to interrupt your life. You never know. And when He interrupts your life, it's not just so you can do something different. It's so that you can do something for Him. You never know how it's going to come. And maybe this morning, God is one, He wants to interrupt your life. with a DVD. Just like he interrupted Nehemiah's life right here in this passage. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 11 says this. Because, you know, we talk about redeeming the time. Now the personal investment. Because, again, they all three go together, guys. So the personal investment. He says, O Lord, because we know he's praying here. He says, O Lord, I beseech you that may your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant, the prayers of your servants who delight to revere your name, and make your servant successful today and grant him compassion before this man. And then I want you to turn over to chapter 2. Chapter number 2, verses 1 through 5 says this. It says, and it came about in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Xerxes, that wine was brought before him, and I took it up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad in his presence. So the king said to me, why is your face sad, though you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of the heart. Then I was much afraid. I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad? Why should my face not be sad? When the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies desolate and its gates have been consumed by fire. Then the king said to me, what would you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. I love that. Short little prayer. Nothing long. God help me. Verse 5, I said to the king, if it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor before you, send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. Personal investment. Here's what Nehemiah does. He starts to pray. He starts to pray, but he said there in verse number 11, I love when he's praying, he gets, you know, it hits him like a ton of bricks at this moment. He says here, again, O Lord, I beseech you that you may hear, be attentive to the prayer of your servant and the prayer of your servants who delight to revere in your name, and say, make others successful. Did he say that? No, here's what he said. Make your servant successful today. He's talking about me. Make your servant successful today and grant him compassion before this man. He's saying, God, I need to be successful. Help me to be successful. Because what he wants to do, he wants to go back. And I love what he says, and we're going to get to it in a moment. I don't want to jump ahead, but he says, I want to rebuild Judah. I want to be involved. He's praying. He's working. When you think about, and again, we're not going to read the whole book of Nehemiah, but what did Nehemiah do? Not only did he pray, not only did he make this personal investment, but he worked, he guarded, he organized. Nehemiah did it all. Now, mind you, he didn't build the whole thing. I mean, he put people in place, but Nehemiah took this burden and said, I want to do something. And he didn't say, well, I'll let somebody else handle that aspect, I'll handle this aspect. No, he did whatever it took to accomplish the job. And if we want to catch a God-given DVD, we want to make a difference, we want to make the impact, we can't dictate, God, I'll do this, but I won't do that. What we say is, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do in order to be successful, because that was his prayer. Lord, help me to be successful, your servant, not only before the king, but as I go back, help me to be successful, because when I'm successful, everybody's successful, right? And it wasn't about Nehemiah getting the glory. It was about the people turning their life back to God. It was about people coming out of bondage. It was about people being safe. It was about people getting their focus back to where it needs to be, and that is towards God. Why wouldn't Nehemiah want to be successful? Man, we should, everything that we do, we should be saying, Lord, help me to be successful, not for me, but for you. Everything. Your job, the church, everything that we do, help me to be successful. Not for me, not for my sake, but God, for your sake. A God-given DVD, that's what we want. We want to be successful because we want to see people turn their lives and focus back to Christ, because that's where it's at. And that's what he asked for. I like what he says here in, because again, we talk about the personal investment. You know, not only does he want to be used, but again, he's willing to sacrifice his life. right? I mean, and we read, if you read the book of Nehemiah, he did. He sacrificed his life. He was willing to sacrifice his life, even to when the king asked him, why are you sad? And he said, and he prayed, a short little prayer, because he knew. If the king wanted to, could have had him killed on the spot. He was willing to sacrifice his life in order to accomplish what God wanted to accomplish in his life. What about you? What about me? Are we willing to sacrifice our life? Are we willing to sacrifice whatever God wants us to sacrifice to be successful in his name, for his purpose, for his glory? I hope so. Because our Lord was sacrificed so that we might have a relationship with him. So that we can be successful, not an earthly success, but a godly success. Are we willing to sacrifice? Are we willing to do whatever it takes? And I love this little part right here. Because when he caught wind of what was going on compared to when he answered the king, do you know how much time frame passed? 4 months. Roughly 4 months passed. So you could say, what did he do in those 4 months? 4 months. Well, we know he prayed, right? But let me tell you what Nehemiah did. I want you to go down in chapter 2, and I want you to read verses. I want us to read verses 6 through 8. Because here's what it says. Verse 6. Then the king said to me, the queen sitting beside him, how long will your journey be? And when will you return? So it pleased to the king to send me, and I gave him a definite time. Now that's something that can be overlooked. In those 4 months, he had figured out, again, by God's power, how long it was going to take him to get the job done. Because he said, this is when I'll be back. Wasn't it, I hope to be back in 6 to 8 months. This is when I'm coming back. Go on, verse number 7 says, and I said to the king, if it pleases the king, I mean, again, king says, what do you want? And he says this off. He says, and I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let the letters be given me for the governors of the provinces beyond the river, that they may allow me to pass through until I come to Judah. And a letter to Asa, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me the timber to make beams for the gates of the fortresses, which is by the temple, for the wall of the city, and for the house to which I will go. And the king granted them to me because the good hand of my God was on me. In 4 months, but when he first pray to God when he got the news to this moment. In 4 months, you know what he was doing? He was preparing himself to go. He was, I mean, and again, God was doing, but he said, this is what I'm going to need. This is how long it's going to take. This is what it's going to require. And so when the king asked him, he says, here's what I need. You see, a God-given DVD is not wishful thinking. It is a belief. It is an understanding that if God's given it to me, God's going to have it come to pass. It may not come to pass in 4 months, 6 months, or a year, but here's what's going to happen. I am going to prepare so when that time comes, God, I am ready to go. Whatever it is. So if it's given something to somebody, here in this case is Nehemiah, I am preparing. When you are personally invested, you are saying, God is going to send me where he wants me to go. He's going to cause me to do what he wants me to do. We don't sit back. I love this because Nehemiah didn't say, well, give me some time and I'll come back with an answer. He was ready. Are you ready? Are you ready to answer the call today? If God speaks to you and says, this is what I want you to do, are you ready? Nehemiah was ready. Because you know what was on his heart and was on his mind? Going to Judah. And he believed. God gave it to him. God's going to get him there. And God's going to provide everything needed to get the job done. Here's the letters. Let them provide. That's how powerful God is. If God gives you a dream, a vision, desire, He's going to give you what you need in order to do it. You just got to be willing to do it. I've got to be willing to do it. We've got to prepare. And then the last thing. Chapter 2, verse 5. And I kind of mentioned it earlier. Talk about the scope. So it's redeeming the time. It's about personal investment. But it's also about the scope of it. Chapter 2, verse 5. I'm going to read the whole thing, but it's that last part. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor before you, send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. Here's one man that says, send me. That's pretty big. He's going to go back and literally rebuild a nation. Judah, rebuild its city. And again, it's not just about rebuilding the city itself, but it's rebuilding the people into a relationship with God. It's more than just the city. It's about rebuilding the people, lifting them back up, pointing them back to God. And I love, and one of the passages that he says to the people, he tells them, you know, God has been with me. He goes out and he inspects the city, and he comes back and he says, this is what we got to do. And you know what? The people were ready. He said, let's rebuild. Let us rebuild. The scope of it. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than Kingsway. What God wants us to do is so big that it's going to take God to do it. You want a God-given DVD? I mean, do you really want one? Redeeming factor. It's going to require personal investment, and it's going to be much bigger than what we can do by ourselves. So I ask you this morning, one, do you have one? Do you have a God-given DVD? Do you have a dream, vision, desire for what God wants to do? And again, I think those three components, is it redeeming in nature? Is it personal investment? And what's the scope of it? And then the next thing, if you don't have one, will you ask for one? Now see, we can leave here today and continue on life as normal. Or we can walk out here today and say, God, I want you to use me. I don't know how. I don't know in what way. I don't know where. But I want you to use me today. God, give me something. Spark something within me. Stir something within me. Birth within me a dream, vision, desire. You know, I've never given birth to kids. But with Amber, I can remember sitting in the waiting room or in the delivery room. We'd been there forever. I looked at my wife. I said, would you please hurry up and give Amber out? And we'd been there for, 12, 13 hours. I was tired. Listen, when you give birth, you ladies know, it's painful. But you wouldn't trade it for nothing. When we ask God to birth within us, a dream, a vision, a desire for him, it may be painful, but you wouldn't trade it for anything and the difference it will make. My friends, one, if you have one, if you have, don't give up on it. Keep preparing, keep working, keep praying. God will bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass. But if you don't have one this morning, if you're just living your life, you're just kind of going through life, why not ask for one? God, birth something within me for you. Bring it to life. And then watch out. Watch out. See what God does. Anyways, will you join with me in a word of prayer? And if I invite you to the altar this morning, cry out before God, just like Nehemiah did. Cry out before God and say, God, send me. Use me. Our Father God, as we come before you this morning, again, we thank you, Lord, for Nehemiah. We thank you, Father, for the fact that he wanted to align his heart with your heart. And when he did, everything changed. Father, may be today. It may be simply, Lord, that we come before you and say, Lord, please align my heart with your heart for what you want to do in my life, because my life belongs to you. My life is not meant to live just for my life. My life is meant to live for you, for your purpose and for your glory. Whatever that means, Father, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, Father, I am willing to do it, because I want my life to count for you. Because there's people who are hurting. Father, there's people today who are in bondage. There are people today who need you. And I want to do something about it. We want to do something about it. So, Father, have your way with us right now. Speak to us. Stir within us. Give us a DVD today. And it's in the name of Christ Jesus we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand near the cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in